that real good feel.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Let's go to 216-578-0850 to Cleveland in Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, you know, I understand that everybody here in Cleveland is hyped up about this possibility of John Manziel and so forth coming here. But, you know, let's really look at the situation. You know, for us to, for the Browns, for the media, for the fans and all this other stuff to be all hyped up on this kid is really doing us a disservice, because if we take it, if we look at the draft in the potential scenario of us trying to get him, the Browns, Houston is going to know this, and they're going to sit there and say, yeah, we're going to take John Manziel, when in actuality they may not want him in the first place, but they think that they can maybe wiggle another first-round draft pick out of us to get us to move up. So I think just overall the media, the fans, and everybody are doing us a disservice by maybe forcing our hand into doing something to reach for a player at number one when we don't really necessarily have to even go there in the first place. And lastly, John Manziel's skill set doesn't translate to our situation. I mean, his ability is escapability, and his ability is best served on AstroTurf fields. He's going to be a lot slower on a grass field, and he won't have that escapability that he would normally have, say, if he were playing in some place that had a turf field. So, already the main thing that makes him exciting and flashy and a great player is being taken away from him to some extent, because he's going to be on a slower track. And so it just doesn't make sense for us to even consider him as an option.
Okay.
He did play on grass at Texas A&M, and in fact, the Texas A&M Aggies were selling off the surface after the season, the surface that was used by Johnny Manziel. So that was a natural grass field that he played on predominantly at Texas A&M. So I don't know about that. What I'll say is this, and the first point he made is that, you know, it's a disservice if I don't think, at least from what I have seen, this is my Nathan Zagura's opinion from watching, starting to get into the tape on these college quarterbacks. There's no Andrew Luck in this draft. I don't believe that there is a quarterback that is so much better than the one that would be available to the Browns at four that it would be worth trading another first-round pick to go get him at number one.
Right.
That's my opinion, okay?
I go along with that.
I don't think that, you know, Johnny Manziel, as we talked about, a lot of things to like about him, a lot of things to be concerned about with him. Teddy Bridgewater, same thing. Blake Bortles is probably the one who has the most upside, but at this point is the least proven and has probably the most work to do. Derek Carr, who I'll talk about in a second, is another option for the Browns, who I watched four games of his this morning. There's a lot to like about him, too. But people need to remember, the Browns might not necessarily take a quarterback at number four. Mel Kiper talked about the scenario that could ensue or what could come to be if the Browns were not to take a quarterback at number four.
You could look at Sammy Watkins. If Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson, is there, put him opposite Josh Gordon with Jordan Cameron coming on. Then you could look at the quarterback at 26, be it Derek Carr from Fresno State or A.J. McCarron from Alabama.
Yeah.
And that's a scenario that I think could come to be.
It could, because and I don't think this is the reason – you don't necessarily do this, but I think Cleveland made some great points. And one is, don't get overcome by the hype. Hype is scary. Hype is frightening, because hype might just be hype, and there may be no substance behind it. And Johnny Manziel is the only player in this draft truly getting hype. I mean, everybody else is everybody else. Everybody else is a discussion And you quickly go to the reasons why that other quarterback, whoever it might be, Bridgewater or the list, Bortles, go down the list, are mentioned as, yeah, it could be that guy, but no one has the profile, no one has the cachet that Manziel brings to it because he's his own entity, and that is frightening. And it's frightening because you have to discipline yourself, and this is what scouts are doing or try to do, is just stick to the football, stick to what the tape tells you, stick to how your judgments work. And the other danger in this is your football organization, and in many cases the owner can be involved. The people who are on the selling side of your football team get very involved in this process, and they say, look, we get this guy, he's going to sell tickets. And it becomes such a superficial attitude that, you know, the football purist in all of us, or at least those of us who do what we do here, are offended by that. We say, you can't, that's dangerous. And how many times has that happened? And it's happened in Cleveland, and it's happened in other cities. So it's a scary thing. Rob in Strongsville wants to talk with us right now. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. We don't need another diva in this town. We've got a basketball diva who doesn't know how to play defense or how to play, and he's brought the team down. What'll sell tickets is win ball games. My opinion is we know we need a linebacker. We know that there is not a franchise quarterback amongst these three or four here. My take on it is we go, we take the best linebacker, or if Clowney's there, take Clowney. Take the best wide receiver at 26. I think Metzenberger, I hear he's starting to throw. Take Metzenberger with your second-round pick, and then go and fill in the team with other players, the third, fourth, and so on. And try to get lucky. But we don't need Manziel. We don't need another diva in this town. It doesn't work. Give us somebody that is like Bernie. He wanted to be here. He played here. He had the attitude mentality. But if you wanna sell tickets, start winning some ball games. My opinion. Take care, guys. Love the show.
You got it. Thank you. I think you're right. You need to win ball games to sell tickets. I think that, you know, an inside linebacker, which is a need. You're just not going to draft one at that spot. So if you're going to do that, it would be a trade-down scenario or yep. Take one with your second first-round pick. I think we do need a wide receiver. I think Sammy Watkins would be an amazing complement to Josh Gordon and give Kyle Shanahan the best tools he's ever had in his toolbox to work with out wide. You could add, we talked about this yesterday, Vic, a scenario where you draft Sammy Watkins, you sign Julian Edelman out of free agency to be your slot receiver, and all of a sudden you got Gordon, Watkins, Edelman with Cameron as your tight end. That's a pretty good offense, knowing that you're going to get a quarterback at some point and you're going to get a running back as well. I just want to talk about Derek Carr quickly, and yes. Obviously we'll get more in depth as we go through this process, but I watched four games of his this morning, and, you know, what I see out of Derek Carr is a guy who's a little inconsistent due to his footwork. When he's faced with pressure, he has a tendency to drift backward, to throw off his back foot, causing him to miss some throws high, throws him to miss some throws wide. Now, he does miss in safe places predominantly. That's one thing I will say about him. His misses were in places that it would either be a great catch or an incompletion, but when he is on, he is pretty darn good. He can throw the ball all over the place, has the arm to throw it into tight windows. The guy that he reminds me of the most in the NFL, two guys, Matt Stafford and Jay Cutler. Now, that means that obviously has good and bad connotations, Matt Stafford and Jay Cutler. The strong arm, the ability to make plays, to drive the ball down the field. He actually has had good touch on short passes as well. But the mechanical issues, the same thing both of those guys do. Awkward release points at times, throwing the ball off your back foot, throwing the ball with your shoulders open without your momentum going forward, that can put a little bit of pressure on your accuracy down the field.
Those things are fixable. I think those things are fixable, and it is about coaching, and you're going to have to trust your team and your team's ability to fix those things, because you're going to need to fix those things in any quarterback you draft. As we've said before, there are flaws in this entire group. Yeah. Mechanical flaws too. And I mean, you know, you see that streakiness in people like Teddy Bridgewater and others who might very well be put at the top of the draft. So that, I think, is just I'm okay with that, and it's not just because I happen to like Derek Carr. I think there could be better value in Carr, and to the point of what you were saying, to the caller's point of maybe going another position, you know, you may be able to double down. You may be able to go downward, accumulate, hit the quarterback spot, hit the receiver spot, hit that key defensive spot, and be very satisfied with how your draft goes. It doesn't have to be sit at four and take the franchise quarterback.
The truth of the matter is, with the wide receiver depth in this class, if the Browns don't value Sammy Watkins, now they may value Sammy Watkins as a complete game changer. At that point, it'd be worth it. But they may value one of the guys in the middle, whether it be an Odell Beckham, whether it be a Marquise Lee, a Mike Evans from Texas A&M, that they could maybe move from four down to, say, 13, pick up a future first, pick up a top second round pick this year, pick up another first, whatever it is,
right,
and have an opportunity to get three picks in the first round or four of the first 35 picks, whatever it may be, four of the first 40 picks, and build that way and still add that talent. I will say this, after watching, and I know we got to take a break, we're going to do our special teams review in a second, after watching the four games of Derek Carr, and I watched the USC game, that was included, I want to watch good and bad. He was not good in the USC game, didn't have a lot of time from his line, was forced to check down. It was not a great game.
Right.
But I like him more after watching, rewatching now, and I've watched now seven games of his, and I'm going to keep doing that with all these quarterbacks so I get through as many of them as possible this season. But I do like him more, and I do believe that in a good offense with a good pass-blocking line, which I do think the Browns have when they're healthy, especially if we keep Alex Mack, if you game Sammy Watkins, Josh Gordon, and Jordan Cameron, he's going to make plays for you.
Sure, no question. Yep, all right, we got our special teams breakdown coming up. We'll give our grades on that area of the particular team from the 2013 season. Listen to ESPN 850 WKNR. So I said,